News on old WWR Old Westbury Webbury. I'm Monica Crespo.
And I am John Greenberg. This week we have media news from Russia, Hong Kong, Vietnam, Ecuador, and the Dominican Republic.
From Russia.
Should Tinder let the Russian government access user data?
From Russia.
How much control does Putin have over the internet?
From Hong Kong.
What did Apple do when China used her own app used by protesters for the App Store?
From Vietnam.
Why did movie theaters in Vietnam stop showing DreamWorks Obama?
From Ecuador.
Will President Lenin Moreno free the internet in Ecuador?
From the Dominican Republic.
What are the most popular social media platforms in the Dominican Republic?
All this and more coming up on Old WWR at Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College of Old Westbury.
Olivia Ferrara and Imani Ince are on Russian Beat this week. Let's begin by talking about dating apps in Russia with Olivia Ferrara.
So dating apps are used for meeting new people and forming possible relationships. But Russia has a different plan on how Tinder should be operated in their country. According to the Japan Times, which is a well-known daily newspaper, Tinder will be obligated to store users' metadata on servers inside Russia for at least 6 months, as well as their text, audio, or video messages.
How would Tinder be affected by this?
Tinder will be faced with serious consequences if they do not comply with the Russian intelligence. According to DW, located in Germany, Tinder could be blocked in Russia. So how would this affect Tinder? Tinder could lose millions of dollars. This is significant because, according to Moscow Times, Tinder is one of the top three dating apps, so to lose their spot would not be good. This is why they are willing to comply.
If Russians still have access to Tinder, why would Russia want a dating app called Rovina?
I think this is a very good question. I believe that Russia does try to Russianize all social media to protect themselves from fake news. I also believe that because of the new compliance rules that Tinder must follow, many people may not want that. Therefore, they created a dating app, which is in part of VKontakte. According to RT, a Russian international TV network, VKontakte would be an app that lets users participate in what is essentially video chat speed dating. The app has been billed as a more personal intro to life than the callous swipe system. I feel Russia is trying to get rid of Tinder by introducing this app. For Global Media News, I'm Olivia Ferrara.
Thanks, Olivia. Let's talk about the internet in Russia with Imani Ince. Is Vladimir Putin's government allowing Russians to use the internet without fear of censorship or surveillance? Imani, what can you tell us about the state of internet freedom in Russia today?
For years, honestly, the Russian government has been trying to find ways to put restrictions on the internet, and as of recently, they have a militant anxiety. In March 2015, they have placed four bills to put more what they call quote-unquote safety laws or censorship bills to stop people from posting different things on the internet. So the first two laws was basically made to pretty much make it illegal for people to spread fake news about the Russian government. And then the second two laws made it illegal for people to spread fake news or disrespectful posts that may endanger the public. So this decision was made by what's called like the Rasko Munzor. Sorry if I pronounced it wrong. And basically, it allows them to detect when a post or article is found to be offensive in any way, and they can either take it down. Basically, if you're found guilty of any of these charges, you can be fined with up to 15 days in jail, and you have different types of fines depending on what your charges are.
Do you think that the restrictions put on the internet in Russia are needed to promote safety to the Russian citizens?
No, I don't think that the restrictions on the internet are needed because it takes away from your freedom to speak to just be an opinion on different subjects without the risk of receiving a fine or even going to jail.
If you are living in Russia, do you think you would participate in the protest? protest against the new censorship bills?
I think I most definitely would, to be honest. I don't, like I was saying before, I don't think that is, to add on, I don't think that is fair for someone to be punished for criticizing or sharing their criticism with their opinions against the government and be punished by it. I think that people should be respectful. There is a way to spread your word and have, like, have your opinions, talk about your opinions in a respectful manner. But I don't think they should be spotted. This is Golden Media News. I'm Amani Inspector.
Thanks, Amani. Did Apple pull an app from the App Store to please China? Why? What was so bad about this app according to the authorities?
There have been violent clashes between protesters and the police in Hong Kong for several months now. Social media and mobile phones have played an important role in the protest movement. Protesters are using the apps to communicate and organize. Recently, Apple was asked to take down an app from the App Store that was very popular with the protesters. Mohammed Fergali is here to tell us about this conflict. Mohammed, what is Hong Kong's current governing situation?
Hong Kong is a city in China that operates in what is called a special administrative region of China, meaning Hong Kong is technically a part of China, but they live within itself like its own country. According to BBC Country Profiles, Hong Kong's media situation is different from China, as a media contact isn't heavily restricted by the government and its constitution values for free speech and press. But of course, all of this are speech. Currently in Hong Kong, there are passing months that have lives of protests in the streets of the cities, the Democratic Party, the Nomadic Independence from the capital of China, Beijing. An article written on National Institute called takes that it's called Hong Kong Prostitute its own laws and leadership. It's the final conclusion in the future slated to be either with a government country two systems or Hong Kong would be independent from the mainland given its own day. In Beijing's perspective, their goal is to stop the protests and unify the country of China, including different areas, including cities like Hong Kong and Macau. They believe the continued unification will strengthen the country against foreign affairs, so that parts of the government will be able to interfere. Recently, an app has come up on the App Store called HKNet.live. This is a crowdsourced program from people of Hong Kong that displays police locations with some citizens using the app to track and ambush police officers and occupations. According to an article written in the New York Times, on October 11, 2019, Apple had decided to take down the HKNet.live app from its App Store.
Tell us, how did this predicament begin?
Well, this all started when the official newspaper of the Communist Party of China published an article accusing Apple of assisting protesters by allowing them to enter their own downstairs. They claimed Apple was assisting the citizens' crime and their actors by violent and raping. The HKNet.live app then proceeded to fire back respondents to Apple officials by saying that they disagreed with the app was responsible for evidence. It stated that most of this content was generated by leaders and not by leaders, but attached it to the enemy to try to promote criminal activity. The app, however, disputes all of these to claim that the app stumbled on fire with safety.
How does the HKNet.live app work?
The app uses a map that is emojis that run citizens' airports, terriers, and then later potential injuries. Although they claim that the app is still using a brand new app, it is clear for the decision to suppress the women and human rights in the city of Hong Kong. As of October 30th, however, Apple has reversed its decision to ban the HKNet.live app from the App Store, meaning that they'll get points again for the citizens of Hong Kong to their minimums. The HKNet.live service has also been made available to use online on the web, so this doesn't happen again. For Global Media News, I'm Hamza Ali, Vaccine Medical.
Thanks, Mohammed. My co-host John Greenberg is here to talk about media in Vietnam and China. This report concerns an American media corporation, DreamWorks, and one of its latest animated films, Abominable. John, why is there a controversy about this animated film in Vietnam?
The film, included a map of the South China Sea, contained a 9-dash line. This line shows an area of the South China Sea that China unofficially claims as their own. Highly controversial to Vietnamese audiences. The South China Morning Post interviewed residents and complained about the film's early removal from theaters, including moviegoer Lay Zhang. White agreed with the film's removal, stating that he did not want controversy in the world. The film was made in partnership by Chinese Post Studios, Also, the Guardians review of the film states as if the film has been algorithm tested for commercial safety by a computer program. It's clear that Vietnam is not the target audience for this film, being much more engineered for other audiences.
Has anything similar happened to other movies in Vietnam?
In our cartoon, the Chinese action film Operation Red Sea was banned for claiming the South China Sea as Chinese. VN Express, a privately owned Vietnamese online newspaper, states that the film included a scene where Chinese ships essentially bullied a foreign ship into leaving the body of the water towards the end of the film. The news source also quoted a Vietnamese movie theater executive, insisting that the film was moved as ticket sales were too low. In comparison, the movie sold extremely well in China, being the second highest grossing film in the country when the film was released. Operation Red Sea released more than a year before Obama, which would make you think of lesson is learned more destructively than these crisis.
How has censorship impacted the cartoon industry in China?
Censorship of cartoons plays a part in both sides of the South China Sea. Most recently, South Park was banned in the country after an episode in the latest season told off Chinese censorship. The New York Times ran a search for anything related to the show on China's most popular social media app, WeChat, and it came back with no results was following the ban. With how controversial South Park is, it comes as a surprise that it hasn't been censored in the country until just recently. On the opposite end of the cartoon spectrum, Winnie the Pooh was banned throughout the country. In 2017, images surfaced on social media comparing Chinese President Xi Jinping to the cartoon character, leading to the cartoon censorship in the country. South Park's creators, Matt Stoney and Trey Parker, issued a statement in response to the ban, stating along the lines of, "We too love money more than freedom and democracy," relating back to the NBA's endeavors in the country, and she doesn't quite agree with it at all. Whether it's intentional or oversight, jokes or propaganda, how China and Vietnam's media is controlled is highly particular. Extreme care is needed to break into these markets, if even worth the intent. For Global Media News, I'm John Greenberg. Back to you, Monica.
Thanks, John. Ecuador has a new president, Lenin Moreno. Is his government better or worse for media and press freedom?
Oscar Martinez is here with a report on media and internet freedom in Ecuador. Oscar, you have been looking at how the world and the government has changed since the election of President Lenin Moreno in 2017. Oscar, who was the president before Moreno? Was there a free media under that government?
So the former president before Moreno was Rafael Correa. He heavily controlled the media ever since he was first elected in 2017. He called the media the public enemy. And for his decade long presidency, he went after the media in any way he could. He paid up an Italian hacker for millions to spy on foreign citizens. He used the public safety tool given to him by the Chinese to keep tabs on his political opponents. In 2013, he passed the Organic Communications Law, which he claimed promoted the good press and reality and the media. But the journalists were able to say or write about it. It was found that if a journalist was gathering information to defame someone or suspected of defaming somebody, the government could go after that person. He also set up super confidential, basically a justice system for journalists. Pereira would even go on his Twitter and find anybody who's criticizing him. And on his own radio show, publicly revealed the person's full name, address, and even tell supporters to go after him. He would also fine millions of dollars to journalists and file lawsuits against anybody who criticized
him. How has everything changed under Moreno?
Despite being in the same political party and even friends with Guerrero at one point, Moreno has completely different views on the media. When he was first elected in 2017, he met with journalists from many sites like Le Comercial and El Telegraph to discuss reforms on the media. And because of his views, were generally more free, the media became more free. In August 2019, he ordered that Supercom to be completely removed
mention that Korea filed lawsuit against journalists. Lawsuits that continue to be
Yes, actually. Korea filed many of those lawsuits as a public citizen. And while he's in exile right now, these lawsuits continue. And most of the lawsuits that were processed under Herrera, the judges would generally side with Herrera. But ever since Moreno got elected, the judges would side with the journalists, which gives more hope to Ecuadorian people that they could be more free under Moreno. I'm Oscar Martinez, Global Media News. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Oscar. Let's talk about social media in the Dominican Republic, Monica Crespo. Monica, what is the most popular social media platform in the Dominican Republic today?
Thank you, John. So actually, the Dominican Republic, which has a current population of about 10.9 million, is becoming really active in media. So 8.5 of those million are mobile subscribers, which represents 78% of the population. Almost 7 million are internet users, which is 64% of their population, and 6 million are active social media users. 5.7 of those users make their access through their mobile devices. The three main reasons that Dominicans use social media are the following. First, they say that it's to know of new events and news. Second is to see what's up with their family and friends. And lastly, to simply entertain themselves. Surprisingly, in the country, there are still a lot of people that might not have a completely finished house, but something they do have is a phone with internet service. I need a phone because I use social media to communicate with friends and my girlfriend outside the country. This is what Eddie Fernandez said, who is a resident of Cornell, Dominican Republic. There are five top social media that on an average, at least, of all the mobile subscribers, every Dominican is connected to at least one of them.
What are some of your favorite social media?
So, the first one is Facebook, with 81.30% of their population using it. Second one is WhatsApp, with 79.80%. Third is Facebook Messenger, with 45.70%. Fourth, Instagram, with 36.20%. And last, YouTube, with 52.80%. WhatsApp is number two in the list, which makes sense because WhatsApp works as a roaming service, but without having to pay for the service. Although all of these five social media had some growth in the past year, YouTube had the highest growth in an 8% from last year. As it was said by El Diario Libre, a Dominican leading newspaper, Dominicans are more prone to socialization and entertainment than to opinion. They also tend to prefer audiovisual material to connect with the world. As their most popular posts are those on Facebook and YouTube, these active users, for the most part, are young adults of the age of 30 and under. These group of people look for organizations that not only satisfies their needs and wishes, but even leaving an open door for those who share the same views.
How does the youth feel about social media?
So, it's like a study showed the truth about youth. More than 70% of the youth feel that these media can help the Earth become a better place. The Dominican Republic is a growing country in many ways, and one that watches for the better of this world, which if it continues to smartly use the use of social media, it will see a lot of positive changes for this small but active place. For Global Media News, I am Monica Crespo. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Monica. That's all for this week. Thanks to our producer and engineer, Kyle Bronski. And thanks to Monica Crespo for hosting me this week.
Today we heard reports from Monica Crespo, Mohamed Fergali, Olivia Ferrara, John Greenberg, Amani Enns, and Oscar Martinez.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old West Bay Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College of Old West Bay.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWR. use our Twitter feed to keep up the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next.
I'm a rush. I'm a rush.